Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. We come to chapter number 6 again tonight of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. This book of Galatians, as Paul writes to the church, and by the way, remember this if you will, try to keep this in mind. Paul's letters to the church are as much so to us today as they were to those then.
Yes, sir.
Chapter number 6, let's look at verse number 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Here is that marvelous law of sowing and reaping. Then the next verse. For he that soweth to the flesh, or his flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Two kinds of sowing. One sowing to the flesh, the other sowing to the Spirit. God's people are supposed to be busy sowing to the Spirit. Sowing in the spiritual field, so to speak. Now, all of us have at least some little bit of knowledge as to how things come about. You plant a seed, that seed germinates and comes up. Now, the time of germination depends on a lot of things, but when you plant something, and the soil is proper, and the sun is available, and moisture is there, then there's going to be a crop, right?
Sure.
It may be but one, but it's going to come up. Here's the truth that Paul is laying down before the Galatian church. If you sow to your flesh those things that entertain you, those things that you desire, those things that, as my brother said just moments ago, that are going to be fuel for the fire in days to come. Those things mean nothing in eternity. What benefit are the things that we have going to be to us 1,000 years from today? How about 100 years from today? For the vast majority of us, how about 25 years from today? I want you to think with me tonight on, I want to try to at least head out in this direction if I may, and say to you that many of our energetic motions in the so-called spiritual world have no spiritual benefit whatsoever. If we were as energetic to sow in the spiritual field as we are in the fleshly field, we'd all be giants when it comes to Christianity. But we're busy sowing to the flesh, busy doing things that entertain this old flesh, or suffice this old flesh. Now, I'm not saying that all of those things are wrong, but I'm saying to you that we ought to be as energetic about the spiritual things as we are the physical. Drive to Johnson City. The largest buildings in Johnson City are not churches. You know what they are? Banks and hospitals. Now, what does that tell you? It may not tell you anything, but tells me something. Tells me that we're busy sowing to the flesh. We're not busy worried about spiritual things. Our anxiety doesn't reach into the spiritual realm, but it sure peaks out in the natural realm. Every time, for the most part, folks get a little bit of a toe ache or a toothache, they head to the doctor. What we need to do is consult the doctor first. I'm going to tell you something right now that will save you a lot of money. When things go wrong at your house, if you'll consult the Lord, if you'll take it to God rather than taking it somewhere else, first off, you can do this at the house. You don't have to go somewhere else to do it. And you're speaking with someone at the house that can get it fixed.
Sure.
Not just a Band-Aid put on it, but fix it.
Sure.
the great physician is still available to his children. Go to the spiritual realm rather than the natural realm first of all. Then God may say to you that you're to go otherwise. But go to Him first. When our children were young, both of them, Angie more so than Benny, but both of them had respiratory problems. Probably because we lived in Florida. That's right next to hell, in case you missed it. Paper mills and all kind of garbage being spewed into the air. And those kids would get fevers, 103, sometimes 104. And I recall one time Angie was so lifeless. And we'd taken her and bathed her with alcohol, put her in a bathtub with cold water, done everything we know to do. And Ginger said, "We don't have the money to take her to the doctor." I said, "We've spent the money already. I'm going to take her to the doctor that we've spent the money, sent it to." I went in the bedroom with her in my arms. Laid her on the bed, still in my arms. And I said, "Lord, You know we don't have the money to take this baby to the doctor. But we've been honest with You through these years. And now, Lord, I'd like to reap a little bit of what we've sown." If my wife were here tonight, she'd attest to this fact. I got up off my knees, and she sat up in the bed, put her arms out. I picked her up and took her in the other room to Ginger. And she was as though there had never been a fever in her body. I'm not talking about 3 days later. I'm talking about when I got up off my knees. See, that don't happen. It may not happen at your house, but it sure happened at mine. And I'm not talking about one time, several times. Now listen to me carefully. When you make an investment in the spiritual realm, according to this verse, you have a right to reap. You have a right to reap. So don't be fearful when you come before God. If you've sown in the spiritual realm, then go to God and say, "Lord, look at here. Look at this circumstance. I need to make a withdrawal. I need to dig some potatoes today. I need to cut some corn. I need to harvest a bit from that we've planted back there." You'll never know. Brother Gary just mentioned this a moment ago. I thought my soul is going to get right into what I'm going to talk about. But you'll never know how long that seed is going to lay in the soil until it comes up. We meet folks all the time that we taught when they were but children. They don't want to shake your hand. My son and I went to Florida the other day for a funeral. It hadn't been but, what, a couple, 3 days? I'd fallen off that scaffold and, man, I was sore. But I decided right there, I don't care how sore I am, I'm going to let these folks hug me all they want to hug me. And I'm telling you, they wore me out. So help me before God. And you know why? Because there was an investment made in their lives way back yonder. And they didn't forget that. Haven't forgotten it. And just like you said, people that, of course, when they call their name, it rings a bell, but my soul, they were kids. Now they're grown, got children, some grandchildren. And they expect you to know them because they know you. That's like being in an auditorium. I travel across the country and preach in these churches. Everybody there thinks I ought to know them like they know me. Well, you see, that's a bunch of folks out there, and I'm just one fella. They can know who I am, but my soul, I'm looking at a sea of faces. I don't know who they are, but they don't forget. Some folks called me the other day, said, "Brother Larry, we're coming through in September. You going to be in town?" I said, 3 weeks I'm out of town in September, but call me and come by and see me if you will." And they said, "That's what we plan to do. Plan to come and see you." Well, you know how long it's been since I've seen those folks. My soul, they just want to come by and renew old acquaintances. And the reason they want to do that is because some seed was sown back down yonder somewhere. Am I telling you something? I hope I am. I hope you'll get what I'm saying to you. Be energetic about sowing in the spiritual fields as much so as we are in the fields of the flesh. The planter ought to have sense enough to know that if he plants artichokes, he's not going to come up with avocados. Amen, right there. You're not going to plant cabbage and get corn. It just doesn't work that way. That you plant is going to come up, and it's going to be what you planted. Now, you can plant some sorry stuff. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to come up. You can plant some good stuff. Guess what comes out of the ground? Good stuff. I'd a whole lot rather walk into the garden and get the good stuff than I would where somebody's planted the wrong stuff. God's little children are busy, though, planting the bad stuff. And here's something all of us need to learn to. And most of us have passed this. There are some children here tonight. And something we need to know early on. Something Dad drove into our heads as boys. Boys, what you do today is going to tell on you down the road. How true that is. When you cross the line as a child, oftentimes you're going to cross the line as an adult. When you step out of the way as a child, you'll step out of the way as an adult. And you'll be paying the price. You may not have paid the price down here, but somebody knows the seed was planted. And that seed will come up out here somewhere and haunt you. Or that seed will come up out there and bless you. God help us to sow the seed that blesses rather than the seed that haunts us. In this text I read to you tonight, first of all, I want you to note that that is a stern warning. Be not deceived. One of Satan's greatest weapons against you and me is deception. Do you know where religion gets all of its little offshoots? Deception. Do you know why there's very few clear voices as to the means of God's salvation in our generation? Because of deception. And you mark her down. Don't ever think you're beyond being deceived. The moment you think you're beyond being deceived, you have just been deceived. So it's imperative that we keep up our guard. If the woman that walked with God in the cool of the day, every day, the Jewish writers tell us, and I don't know how they come up with this number, that they tell us that Adam and Eve were in the garden for some 70 years. So you put that together, 70 years of 360 days. 365 days is our calendar. The real calendar is 360 days. So 360 days a year for 70 years, if that number is so, it could be more, it could be less. But let's just say the number is so. Every day for 70 years, God walked with Eve in the garden. And one day, the devil shows up and deceives her in moments. Now that can happen to Eve, it can happen to you. The wisest man ever to live on the earth, other than the Lord Himself, was David's son Solomon. What happened to Solomon? Satan deceived him. The strongest man that ever lived on this earth was deceived by Satan. So here we are, the wisest man and the strongest man, and we could go on. One of the greatest men in your Bible, David himself, was deceived. So don't think you cannot be deceived. We are all capable of being deceived by the devil. It is imperative that we understand that the seed is to be sown and that we as God's little children stay in this book. If it's not according to the book, then look closer. You may see a little sign on it that says, "Made in hell." Give it the sniff test. It may smell like sulfur. You understand what I'm saying to you? Stay in the book. Make sure that it measures up to what the Word of God says. Deception is something that can befall all of us. Secondly, not only is there a stern warning involved here, but there is a simple witness to this truth. God is not mocked. Now this word for mocked means making a face at. When children are mocking you, what do? It's not that they just do what you do. That's imitation. But they are mocking you when they're making faces at you and making fun of you. They are mocking you. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Don't you ever think that God is going to be mocked by humankind and they get by with it. Now the context of this passage is speaking specifically of that that's being sown. You see, God made it what it is. My soul, I could stay there for the rest of the evening and tomorrow and throughout the week. God made it what it is. Don't try to mock God by changing what it is. Am I saying something to you? In our schools today, first and second graders are now being counseled as to their sexuality. Do you want to be a girl or do you want to be a boy? God determined that in the womb. What a mess. A preacher friend of mine called me this afternoon. He said, "Brother Larry, I just had to share this with you." Down there in Metter, Georgia, where one of our radio stations was, there was a couple who had been arrested for abusing an older adult that they were supposed to be caring for. At the same time, they had neglected a dog and hadn't fed that dog. They arrested them for abuse of the elderly as a misdemeanor. But abuse of that dog was a felony. Did you hear that? Now here's where America is. This is why this outfit's out on the street. You see, there's no genuine marks in the sand, so to speak. Nothing to say what's right and what's wrong. And politicians and liberal thinkers put these laws together and get them passed while we sleep, and then it springs upon us in our ignorance. But we're reaping what was sown back yonder. The sad thing is, our children, our grandchildren, my great-grandchildren are going to reap what we have sown. Because we didn't shake our heads and get all the garbage out of it. And we didn't think and we didn't look to God. We just let things go. It should never be so that the perverts of this land determine what we do. Now, when they came out with the directive in the state of Florida and said that we as preachers could not use any language defamatory against the perverts, they didn't call it that. They called it the gay lifestyle. Guess what I said? I let them know unequivocally that I was going to preach the Word of God and I was going to call that outfit what God called them. And I was going to do it without apology. And if they wanted to be there, welcome in. That sodomite outfit is not going to tell me what I can say and what I cannot say. I'm going to say what this book says, and that's going to happen every time I stand to preach until God takes me home. Now the fight's been long. I'm going to tell you right now, it wasn't easy taking that stand, and it wasn't easy staying there. It's cost me much, but it's sown the seed in the right place. And I can stand tall before the Lord my God and say I've been honest with this book. That outfit didn't call me to preach. Right. They can't uncall me to preach. They may fix it to where I don't have a place to preach. They thought they had once. That didn't work out. Hallelujah. God is not mocked. Let me hurry. Thirdly, there's a sure wonder. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall, not maybe, shall he also reap. It's coming up. We've already mentioned that, but it's coming up. And when it comes up more so than what was planted. Isn't that right? You plant one grain of corn. From that one grain of corn, you're going to harvest multitudes of grain. You plant one bean in the ground, it's untelling how many beans you're going to get from. I've seen the time that some of my bean vines had run from here to that seed out there and just nearly a bushel. Are you listening to me? Nearly a bushel of beans on one stinking vine. Say, that's impossible, Brother Larry. Well, we're talking about Hazelwood Hollow dirt, honey. We're not talking about some of this junk that's been raped for years. There's still something out there. My dad used to grow potatoes, and I'm not kidding you, they're as big as Gary's head. I remember a fella came one time. He said, Brother Warren, I'd like to buy a bushel of potatoes. Daddy said, man, I'd hate to cut one. Now, some of you folks will get that next year. Some things come a little slow to some of you. But what a sure wonder. When it's planted, it'll come up. I want to come to this. There is a specific weight. Some seed will reach its harvest early. Some seed will be years in coming forth. Again, the germination depends on the circumstances around it. And the circumstances oftentimes slow things down. But finally, it is all up to the one who made the seed. Now hear me. God may choose to let you reap in this lifetime some that you have sown. And you may have to wait until you cross over. I was thinking some morning, I'm going to be walking by the river, and someone walked up to me and said, Brother Larry, do you remember preaching thus and so? God touched my heart in that meeting. Saved me by His grace, and that's the reason I'm here. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? Lord, I get wild down here sometimes, shut the house down, but let me tell you something. In that glorified body on the other shore, when that kind of thing happens, glory, what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. And God's going to let us reap some of that. Some we never knew. I've preached all these years. We had two radio stations that we owned, one in Florida, one in Georgia. Millions and millions of potential listeners. We got letters, we got phone calls all the time. One of these days, on the other shore, somebody's going to say. I was in a meeting a while back. Young preacher had preached, and boy, I mean, he hoed the corn. And after that, pastor got up and he said, now Dr. Montgomery's going to come preach for us. I was sitting back with my wife. I got up, started toward the front. A young preacher ran like a football player. Boy, he hit me, hugged my neck, said, Brother Larry, you'll never know. You'll never know. He said, my daddy is an onion farmer in Vidalia, Georgia. But he said, 10 o'clock every morning, we'd stop and we'd listen to you preach for an hour. He said, I learned more listening to you preach than everything I've ever done since then. I want you to know. Now, he's saying this loud enough for the church to hear it, and they're shouting all over the place. He said, I want you to know what you mean to me. Now, I appreciate that. I'm grateful to God for it. But I'm just wondering if maybe there's another or two that on the other shore. Hallelujah. Glory. Got a note the other day. I'm going to close here. Listen. Got a note the other day from one of the missionaries that we'd trained to fly in our ministry in Florida. That boy came in there. He said, Brother Lash, I've got 2 weeks. And he said, I've got to get back. He's from Sand Point, which is one of the islands between Alaska and China. And actually, it's Russia at that point. But he was going on to China as a missionary. And he said, I've got 2 weeks. Can you teach me to fly in 2 weeks? I said, we may have to prop your eyes open with toothpicks. But I said, if you've got 2 weeks, I'll teach you to fly in 2 weeks. Well, in 2 weeks' time, he had soloed. I'd had him ready. Got him ready for his check ride. And he got a call and had to leave a couple of days early. So we had to cancel his check ride. And he came back a month and a half later. I got back in the air with him for about 2.5 hours, got him ready for the check ride. But that time we had bought him an airplane and refurbished the thing and fixed it. Do you remember that, Benny? Fixed that airplane for him, got it ready to go. And he passed his check ride, took off and went out of there. Flew that thing back to Alaska and out into the islands. Island hopping back and forth, telling those people about Jesus. Now listen to me. When you sow seed like that, somewhere it's going to come up. Yes. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to some of that coming up. And I want to leave you with this tonight. I want you to understand that the Holy Ghost, remember this is sowing to the Holy Ghost. And when you're sowing to the Spirit of God, you know that any results, it's not for you to claim meritoriously, not by any stretch of the imagination, but by the mercy and the grace of God. Here's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the Holy Ghost multiplying those things that we have sown through the years. And when we get to glory, reaping on the other shore the harvest that the Holy Ghost, by grace, has given us. Thank God. Thank God for the harvest that the Holy Ghost brings. I don't want no more of that wild stuff coming up. I've had enough Johnson grass and wild onions in my lifetime. The real estate of my life is scattered with Johnson grass and wild onions and briars and sawgrass and bramble bushes. Oh, but thank God, that spiritual side. Oh, what a blessing to look forward to. You see, heaven is not just a place to go after this life is over, but heaven is a place to go and reap what God in mercy and grace has granted us because of the sowing that's been done in this life. What have you sown? Are you sowing anything? Is there not some place that you can drop a spiritual seed from time to time? Now listen to me. Let me caution you here, because there's so much stupid, and let me say this one more time, stupid preaching going on. Sow the seed. Leave it up to God and quit trying to push it out of the ground yourself. All you're going to do is kill it. Leave it up to God. The time span in there is God's work. Now take that home with you. Tell the next preacher you see that I said that. Because most of them are trying to push it up. This has got to happen my way and my time right now. I learned a long time ago, God's not in a hurry. You said this morning, God is not in a hurry. By the way, He won't be in a hurry in the morning. He won't ever be in a hurry. He's an eternal God. You are an eternal soul. And when God pleases, it'll come up. You may not even be here to see it. But it'll come up in God's time. In God's time. Sow spiritual seed and spiritual results will take place. May not seem like much right now, but I think most of us are going to be surprised at what the Spirit is going to do with what little effort we put forth on this side. Yes, sir. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, eyes closed. Father, I appreciate Your good mercy and grace. I'm thankful for this time tonight. It's been a good time. My heart's been blessed, and I pray that something's been said to bless somebody else. Lord, I pray for the harvest. Oh God, You've already let us see a bit of the harvest here. But I think a bit of what Paul said and what he meant. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither did enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Lord Jesus, I'm looking forward to those spiritual things in days to come. Thank You again for Your good word. Bless every heart in this place. Make good farmers out of us. In Jesus' name.